really screws up my countdown when you start coughing in the middle of it. Welcome to episode 477 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games, as I trip over that one because we're still working this out. Hey, we are back after a week off because, you know, slow news week, but there's stuff to talk about right now.
I wish it was due to a slow news week. That wasn't the only reason. My life's been bonkers. You can just blame me instead of the news. It's fine.
But it was a slow news week.
It was. But anyway, we would normally use this time to get right into our listener feedback, but we don't have any. And normally I would do like what your mother would do and give you a big guilt trip about how you never call home anymore. But because we had so much listener feedback during the last episode, I'll give you all a pass. It's okay. Just remember for maybe the next time or the time after that. We'd appreciate it. You can do that by sending us a message at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com or use our contact form, which I think Richard fixed.
I did. It's working.
Yay. Whoops. Sorry about that, guys.
I think I might have broken it. Sorry. But it is working now, so we're good. And that lets us get right into our news stories. And we're going to dive right into video with an audio story.
You know, when I looked at where you put this in the notes just now, I thought, wait, I think you put this in the wrong section, Richard. But this works.
It totally works. So as everybody knows by now, the Xbox is capable of playing certain content using Dolby Atmos. That's the audio system where stuff is mapped to specific locations and you have above and behind and in front of you, and you are fully enveloped by the audio. And this works on movies that you might rent. It works on movies that you play on discs, and it works on some games. The way that Microsoft implemented Dolby Atmos on the Xbox is such that it is always outputting. I know that's not really a word, but I don't know how to say it otherwise. The output is always as if it were delivering Dolby Atmos content, even though it may not always be Dolby content. It might just be standard stereo channels, or It could be just 5.1 audio, which is probably most common in content.
Right.
What that meant was that if you have an AV receiver that was capable of upmixing from non-Atmos to Atmos content, that wouldn't work because it was seeing the input in the AVR as if it were already Atmos.
Right.
Well, Microsoft is introducing an update that is now in one of the early, can't remember the name of it, program rings.
I don't know why you can't remember. There's only five of them, Richard.
Right, exactly. It's in one of the rings, and the earliest of the rings has already received this, where you will now be able to upmix to Dolby Atmos directly on the Xbox. And this is really, really cool because this means that your games that are not Dolby Atmos and your video content that may not be Dolby Atmos, if it isn't already Atmos, will be upmixed to simulate Atmos. Now, is it going to be perfect? No, but here's the cool thing. This was designed by Dolby. This isn't Microsoft just doing some cool sound tricks.
Hey, guys, what if we make some of these sounds come from above you?
Right. Exactly. So I'm really excited about this. I think this is fantastic. This will not only solve that upmixing problem on AV receivers that can do upmixing, but if you don't have the ability to upmix on your receiver, then this will do it for you. So this is a great improvement, and I don't know when we should expect this, but I am really excited to check this out when it's available.
Yeah, so I double checked and it's in the alpha skip ahead ring. So you're correct. That is the earliest possible ring. So those are the people that are getting massive updates quite frequently. If it's in skip ahead, that could be a ways out. It's probably not coming in like the April update. Or I don't know. Who knows? You know, it's really hard to tell with the Xbox.
It is hard to keep track.
Because they do release things pretty quickly, but the skip ahead stuff is generally the furthest out. So it might not be April, but it might not be long after that.
So here is my thought to people who don't have Atmos content that they want to play, but they want to upscale. If they have an Atmos system, or maybe they're doing the Atmos headphone things, watch a concert upmixed to Atmos. It's usually pretty phenomenal.
Like maybe specifically that one that you recommended a few months ago that I'm drawing a blank on?
Yeah, it's actually, So that's a really good example. So the Netflix version of the Hans Zimmer concert, the Live in Prague concert, is 5.1, even though there's an Atmos version of it on the Blu-ray disc.
Mm-hmm.
So you could listen to an upmixed version of that, or, you know, anything that has you in the middle of an audience, it's going to be amazing.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I'll have to watch that again, I guess, on headphones, because I don't have Atmos. So yeah, I'll have to try that on headphones. Cool. Very cool. All right, our other video story is part of the unfortunate but continuing saga going on with HD Home Run Premium TV. This issue between Omniverse, which is the upstream provider, the company that's actually providing all of these video streams to HD Home Run and some other streaming sources, is continuing to have some issues. So this is, again, an ongoing thing. So a couple of days ago, when I put this in the notes, the situation was different. And by different, I actually mean worse than it is today. So a few days ago, there were a bunch of channels that suddenly went dark. Fortunately, almost all of them are back now, if you're an HD Home Run Premium TV subscriber. The only ones that aren't working at all are Weather Channel, which they replaced with AccuWeather. So you do still have weather. ESPN Classic, OWN, and TCM. And then a few other channels are still having some issues. AMC plays back in HD, but has like weird things where it's like jumping around, I guess. And QVC, HLN, C-SPAN, and CMT are in SD, but also having weird issues. So Silicon Dust is working on this. Pretty much all of these issues are Omniverse's fault. Like this isn't something that Silicon Dust screwed up, but they're working their hardest to try and fix these problems for you. But this whole thing, it really makes you wonder, how much longer is Silicon Dust going to keep doing this?
Well, right. And how much of their resource pool is this diverting from other things that their consumers want them to be working on? Like, oh, I don't know, maybe the Prime 6?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know, because, you know, we don't know how many people they have dedicated to each product and stuff. I mean, they're not a huge company. I've never asked Ted Head, their CEO, how many employees they have, but I don't think it's it's hundreds by any stretch. It's probably not even dozens. So,
right.
Yeah. I wonder if there are contractual obligations that they might be waiting before they try and get out of. Because, I mean, sure, HD Home Run can say this isn't really our fault, guys. But at the end of the day, people are paying Silicon Dust for this service. And if they're not getting what they want from the service, then they're not going to stick around. And,
right.
And if they lose lots of subscribers from what I have to imagine isn't a huge number of subscribers currently, then how much longer is it going to make sense for them to even try this?
Right. Because ultimately this could end up just looking bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want that necessarily. But Yeah, this is such a sticky situation because they're stuck. You know, they're stuck in this situation, and it, you know, kind of not really at all their fault. It's so messy. Hey, on the good side, look at it this way. You have actual weather news now instead of the sensationalist crap that the Weather Channel shows, which is more like reality TV.
Right. Good point. Way to find the bright side of the story.
That is the silver lining in the proverbial cloud.
Yeah. Lots of clouds on the surface right now, unfortunately. And again, like you said, none of this is really Silicon Dust fault. It's really frustrating for everybody involved. So instead of dwelling on the frustrating stories, let's move on to a really cool story. I'm excited about one half of this partnership. Pocket Cast has a new skill for Amazon's voice assistant. I'm not going to say her name here. Amazon's voice assistant, where you can ask your Echo devices to play your podcast that you would normally be listening to through Pocket Cast. So if you've got Pocket Cast on your iPhone or your Android phone, you can then say the voice assistant's name and then say, ask Pocket Cast to play my Up Next, which is a weird phrase. It's a really weird phrase that you're probably going to have to say a bunch of times before you remember.
It's terrible, terrible, terrible. I hope that they've also programmed some synonyms, because this is just absolutely terrible voice user interface. It should just be, ask Pocket Cast to resume my podcasts. And have it replay from wherever you were in your list.
Right. I mean, the good thing is that by saying play my Up Next, it does resume from where you were. But I'm a Pocket Cast user who listens to podcasts for, I don't know, somewhere between an hour to 5 hours a day, depending on the day.
Oh, wait, let me guess what you're going to say. You didn't know it was called Up Next.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I had no idea that that's what there that section go. Was called. Right. I wouldn't have known. But I would love to have this functionality. I mean, there are ways for me to be able to do this with my Google Home speakers, but not with my voice. I have to use Google Cast to do it. And that means pulling out the phone and fiddling with things. And it's not that slow, but it would be a whole heck of a lot faster if I could just ask my Google Home to do it with voice. So,
and if they're doing it for Amazon, they'll very likely be doing it for Google at some time in the near future.
Yeah, they would have to. So I'm looking forward to that. If you are a Pocket Cast user and have some Echo devices, check this out. Let us know how well it works for you. There are other things that you can say, like you can have it play random podcast. You can tell it to play the next episode of some named podcast, like play the next episode of Entertainment 2.0. Hopefully that would work.
You should totally do that.
Yeah, play the next episode of Story Players. And then when you're done, play the next episode of Home On. And then when you're done, I don't know, play the next episode of Entertainment 2.0 again. Or use your voice assistant to send us some listener feedback. I don't even know if that's possible, but probably not. All right, let's move on to a little bit of gaming news. Not a ton here. Like Richard said, it's still a little bit slow. I mean, it's the end of February. It's early March. It's not exactly prime tech news time of the year. But very soon, I don't have the date memorized. You would think I would, but very soon is another really big game conference. This one is more targeted at game developers. In fact, it's called the Game Developers Conference, GDC. That comes up. It's either next week or the week after, and there's bound to be news there. But until then, we've got a little bit of stuff from over at Therat.com. They gave a nice recap of what we might and probably are expecting from Microsoft and their next Xbox consoles, and what's probably going to be announced in some capacity at E3 this year. Probably not beforehand, but some of this we've covered in the past, but there's a little bit of new rumors here too. So just to catch you back up on things, the next generation Xbox the overall concept of it is codenamed Scarlet, but Scarlet is not the name of a particular console. There are two consoles supposedly coming. One, codenamed Anaconda, that's the really powerful one. Think of that as being like the Xbox One X. And then the other one is called Lockhart, and that's lower specs, probably targeted at using only streaming services. So the Project xCloud stuff that they've been talking about for a few months. Brad Sams over at The Rot says that he thinks that both of these new consoles will abandon spinny disk hard drives, which is cool from a size, weight, speed, and noise perspective. And they're going to switch over to some form of solid state storage. That could be cool and could mean significantly smaller boxes. The other thing that we're seeing some rumors about of late is this is actually kind of interesting because there was a story that was bouncing around on a few sites 3 or 4 weeks ago that we didn't report on because it seemed pointless. There was no information here. But the story that was going around was, for a very limited amount of time, Windows 10 insiders could download some version of the Windows 10 Insider preview and sign up for a free copy of State of Decay 2 and play it to test things. But Microsoft didn't say what it was that they were testing. It seemed way too nebulous to even talk about, because what the heck is going on there? Well, some people did some digging, and we think we know what they were testing. That State of Decay 2 download was not the normal version from the Windows 10 store. It was the Xbox version.
What?
Yeah. It's the actual Xbox version downloaded from the Xbox store.
But that, wait, so you had to play it with a controller, or just how would you do that with a keyboard?
Well, the keyboard or the Xbox One does now support keyboard and mouse for some games.
Oh, that's right.
I don't remember State of Decay 2 being one of them, but maybe it is, or maybe the PC version also requires a controller and people didn't notice. I don't know. I've not actually played State of Decay 2. So, I mean, that's a great question, but I don't know. At first you might think, well, who cares? Why would this matter? Like, we already have Xbox Play Anywhere titles. It's supposedly super easy for developers to make games that run on both Xbox One and Windows 10. Why does this matter? Well, I think it matters because if a game developer needs to do practically nothing to make their Xbox One game also work on Windows 10, then that could mean way more games that work on both Xbox One and Windows 10, and could also be way more Play Anywhere games, and that might be a bigger reason for some developers to actually make their games available on Xbox. You know, we obviously see lots of third-party developers only making games for Sony right now, and that's because Sony has sold way more PlayStation 4s than Microsoft has sold Xbox Ones. But if in the future any game works on all Xbox Ones and basically all Windows 10 PCs with next to none or maybe no extra work at all, especially since Xbox One games can now support keyboard and mouse, then there's a whole lot of reason for developers to make games that support all of those platforms together. So that could be cool.
So rewind about 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
And let's go back to that Xbox One announcement that, while primarily focused on video and content and stuff like that, one of the things that they were pounding home repeatedly was that this is actually Windows. This is a Windows computer.
Right.
Based on what we've seen over the last 5 years or so, this might be the first time that I'm thinking we're actually seeing the fruits of that. I mean, sure, you can build apps that run on both platforms, but you're ending up with a compromised experience if you're not doing something somewhat custom for one or the other, because a 10-foot experience is different from a desktop experience if you're using an application. But for a game, if it's really just about making sure that you're also supporting keyboard and mouse, that is phenomenal.
It is more than that, though, because you do have to support different graphics options and different scaling settings and different resolutions and things like that. But we're already seeing some of that with game consoles. I mean, the Xbox right. One X already supports things that the Xbox One and One S don't. So there already is some of that. So yeah, I think you're right. I think this is really cool.
It's cool. I like it.
Yeah. All right. The other one, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. I'm just going to redirect you over to Engadget to read the whole story. But there's a company out there that provides a service called Shadow, and it's a game streaming service. We've talked a little bit about game streaming in the past, especially with Microsoft xCloud, and Shadow has their own way of doing this. It is essentially rent a massive gaming computer in the cloud and then stream the playback of that down to whatever device you want, whether that be a computer, a smartphone, a tablet, whatever you want. But in order to use it on your TV, you would have to like hook a computer up to your TV, which our listeners know a thing or two about that experience. It's not always the greatest.
Right.
So this company has released or is releasing a device called the Ghost, which is a little set-top box that you can plug into your TV, plug into the internet, hook up your Bluetooth or USB controllers or keyboards and mice and all that stuff, and stream games from the internet. Question is, how well does it work? Because this box isn't cheap. It's $150 for this console that is just a streaming console. It's kind of like the NVIDIA Shield, except all you're doing is, I mean, it's probably a little bit more than this, but you're essentially just remote desktoping into a server, right? Mm-hmm. It's more advanced than that, but that's essentially what it is. And this service is $35 a month in addition to that $150 set-top box. That's a ton of money. And what it comes down to is Engadget is saying, sure, they've got the hardware in the cloud to theoretically produce a 4K 60 frame per second video stream. But by the time it gets compressed and sent through the interwebs down to your home, it doesn't look that great and it doesn't run that great. At least it wasn't for them. And that's awfully disconcerting for anybody who is looking to use the service. And makes you wonder how well Project xCloud is working. Now, obviously, Microsoft has a lot more resources than this small company, but yikes. Basically, Engadget at the end of the day said, it's a cool idea, but it's not a better experience than building your own computer, which of course would be a lot of money, but it's also not a better experience than just buying a PlayStation or an Xbox. So hopefully Shadow can figure some of this stuff out, because it does sound like a really cool thing. And you could, in theory, end up with a really high quality gaming experience, because we're talking high end specs on the server side here. But if the streaming doesn't work, it's not going to work, especially not for $35 a month.
So I must have missed this earlier, but is this for reals now, or is this coming out?
Well, the service is for reals now. It's very limited in where it's available, because they don't have data centers everywhere. And you obviously want to be close to where the servers are to keep lag and everything to a minimum.
Right.
The service is for reals. It's a European company, so it's been available in Europe longer than it has been here in the US. And the Ghost game console, it's either out now or will be very soon. So worth checking out the article, because the device is cool looking, but nope. I'm not gonna pay for this. Sorry.
Well, hey, look at it this way. It's cheaper than the fabled Steam Box.
Yeah, the steam machines of lore. Yeah. All right, well, let's real quick. It is now a new month, so we are going to cover your new free games this month, at least the ones from Microsoft and Sony. On the Xbox side, Games with Gold for March 2019, all month long, Adventure Time, Pirates of the... I don't even know how to pronounce this word. Enchiridion? No idea. I know nothing about this game and don't know if you should get it, but it's free, so I guess why not? March 15th through April 15th is a game worth checking out. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. This is a cartoony shooter game that you probably won't mind if your kids play, because it's Plants vs. Zombies, not, you know, shooting terrorists in the face or something like that.
I swear I already have this. Oh, maybe it was on like a crazy sale or something before.
Or maybe the first one was a Games with Gold.
No, I have. I definitely have two. I tried to play both of them and I ended up playing neither of them because I don't have an EA account, and you're not even allowed to play the game if you don't have an EA account.
Huh.
Which, frankly, is just obnoxious.
Right.
There's just no good reason. The only reason for them to do that is so that they can get your email address. There is absolutely no reason to require that.
What about online stats tracking? Actually, no, because they could just do that through Xbox Live and stuff.
Right.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yep. All right. Your other free games. For the first half of March, this is when you would normally get a free Xbox 360 game. Nope. It's going to be an original Xbox game this time, and that is Star Wars Republic Commando. So if you're a Star Wars fan, go for it. It's backwards compatible. It'll play on your Xbox One. And then for the second half of March, this is one I would recommend, and one that I might actually try to play. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. Isn't that a great word? I love when they make up words.
Revengeance. That is bizarre.
Yep. Well, Metal Gear games are super bizarre. This one is a little different. It's a Metal Gear story, so it's absolutely crazy. But it was made by Platinum Games, who makes really, really great like action combat games. So, yeah, definitely. Like, think Bayonetta. I think they made Bayonetta and games like that. So I would definitely check this out. It's an Xbox 360 game, will be backwards compatible. On the PlayStation side, you got two games for March: Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered. I still play this occasionally. Call of Duty Modern Warfare came out in 2008, I think, but it was the game that made me fall in love with Call of Duty. And when they released the remastered version of it last year, I was quite excited. I do play it occasionally. Not as much now that I've got COD Blops 4, but this is a good one, and it's free on your Sony PlayStation 4. And your other game is The Witness. This is a puzzle game. If you're into really good puzzle games, you will probably love The Witness. I am not, but people rave about this game. And those will be available on PlayStation 4 starting March 5th and available through April 1st. The Sony section used to be a lot longer. Thank God now they no longer provide PS3 or Vita games, so we don't have to worry about figuring out which ones of those to talk about or which ones are cross-platform compatible and all that craziness. So less games, but it's less games that you can't play unless you own an ancient system anyway, because PlayStation doesn't really do the backwards compatible thing. All right. That's it for our gaming news.
All right, one more story before we wrap up our news. And this is actually a little bit old news, but I kind of missed the significance of this when I first heard it. If you listen to some other media or smart home podcasts, you may have heard that the company that makes the Neo remote was acquired by Control 4. Now, why are we talking about this on Entertainment 2.0? Because the Neo remote was a crowdfunded remote control that is designed to be able to control both your AV devices and your smart home devices. It actually has a couple smart home radios built into it so that it could control like Z-Wave and things like that in addition to all of your AV equipment. And I have a review unit that I've kind of been procrastinating to test because my first couple of experiences with it just were not that good. But it's a beautiful remote. It has a screen built in, and they have just like the minimum of keys that you might want on the remote. And the physical design of the keys is, frankly, perfect. They did an amazing job on designing the physical keys. The software part of it left a little bit to be desired, in my opinion. I know that they have been working on improving it, but I haven't really been using it that much since I first got it. Well, it may be too late because they are discontinuing their direct consumer product. So here we had this great remote that could control all of these different things, and it's no longer going to be sold directly to consumers. So my belief, and if you read a lot of the press coverage of this, it seems like what they've really done is they've kind of purchased the IP and the staff that worked at Neo to help Control 4 come up to speed with some more contemporary and better designed remote control systems, because they definitely need them. But it's really a shame for people who were looking at this Neo remote as a really power competitor to something like the Harmony Elite or one of those types of devices.
You know what I've always thought this thing looks like?
The Monolith?
The Zune HD. It kind of looks like the Zune HD. Like, I mean, if you added all those playback controls at the bottom, I don't know, it just kind of looks like a Zune.
Way, way longer, right. Which was also, I mean, the Zune HD was a beautiful piece of industrial design.
It was gorgeous.
And this is a beautiful piece of industrial design. I mean, it's just really slick looking. Took them a long time to get it to market. They put a ton of effort into device support, building an IR catalog that is probably as large as, if not more so, than what Harmony has. So there's a lot there to use if you're a company that wants to do better in your remote control space. So it's a smart acquisition, but I'm kind of disappointed to see it gone, even though it wasn't really right for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you've got me thinking about Zune HDs.
Let it go.
I kind of wish I had one.
You're going to trigger someone. I know it. We're going to get an email message. All right. That is it for our news. So let's talk about what's going on in our entertainment centers. And it's been 2 weeks again, so a lot of stuff has been going on. As we've discussed before, both Josh and I have TiVo Bolt devices that TiVo has provided for us to talk about and experience. And so that is now my primary DVR in the house. And I haven't set it up to record anything yet. And here's why. I'm having problems with my Fios service, completely unrelated to the TiVo, so that the signal strength on my primary networks is crap. It's unwatchable.
What?
This happened a couple months ago, and I didn't think anything of it because we were in like the, you know, mid-season break for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now everything is coming back, and I can't record network television shows.
Wow.
So you know what that means? That means I've been streaming a whole lot of my network television. I've been watching more of my network TV shows through Hulu.
Mm.
Or through the CBS app and airplaying that to my Apple TV. So I really haven't had the opportunity to take advantage of the DVR capability of the TiVo. Now, what I do like is that now that this is all connected with my old devices, I think last we talked, it was kind of an island, but the folks at TiVo managed to get that connected with my current account. So now it's driving my TiVo minis. It's driving the other, or not driving, but it's connected to the other TiVos in my home. So I can quickly and easily view content that I've recorded on those. And that's really nice to have that all integrated into one thing. And so, you know, so far I am still loving this box, and we are using some of the video services from it rather than just automatically jumping over to the Apple TV like we used to do. So I will continue to report on that as that continues to evolve. All right, so been watching some TV, Big Bang Theory, Modern Family, Game of Thrones. Actually, we're just wrapping up season 6 of Game of Thrones. We're so close. Season 8 is going to start in about a month's time. So we're going to be powering through the last few episodes in season 7 over the next couple weeks. Also been watching some other shows like This Is Us. I'm behind on that and on New Amsterdam. Been watching Shameless and trying to catch up on Hawaii Five-0. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on, what is that, on Netflix? Yeah. And I completed season 2 of Trial and Error, and that's it. There are no more episodes of Trial and Error, and I'm really hoping that someone picks it up because it is a really good, really funny, just totally stupid screwball comedy. I totally love it. And then the new season of Last Week Tonight has started. So we have started watching that. And we watched 3 movies over the last 2 weeks. One of them was great. One of them was surprisingly good. And one of them was eh. So let's go with the eh first. First Man. The story of the first man to walk on the moon. That should have been awesome.
It should have been amazing.
Yeah, it wasn't.
That's really sad.
It wasn't. It just wasn't. It was slow. It was a story of a family dealing with... We have seen this. We have seen this before so many times. I didn't understand why someone decided that they needed to turn this book into a movie, because we have seen this story on the big screen. I did watch A Star Is Born, the most recent version, after watching the 3 predecessors. I'm not going to watch Star 80. That, from what I understand, is a piece of crap. And so I'm not even considering it as part of the canon, if you will. But the new one was great. I really enjoyed it. I probably shouldn't have, I don't know, like binged on A Star Is Born just before seeing it. Because I did kind of have that thing where, like, even though they changed the names and even though they changed the motivation, I've seen this story 4 times now. But it was great, and I am excited that it won an award or two. Also, just kind of randomly, we decided to watch Wreck-It Ralph. And I didn't know a whole lot about this movie. It was delightful. Like,
it is.
It was just such a fun, unexpectedly great movie.
Yeah, I watched this a couple of years ago. It was, even at that point, it was long after it had been out on video and all that stuff. I didn't see this in theaters or anything. And for a while, I was like, I don't need this movie where they make up a story about video games that didn't actually happen. Like, that's not going to be good. But it was. It really was good.
It was. It was a very good story. It was very well done. I'm so glad that we watched it, and we both really enjoyed it. So I'm glad I finally saw that. And part of the reason that we watched it was because Ralph Wrecks the Internet is like all over the place on digital video right now.
Yep.
So I'm hoping to see that once that's available to rent.
We took the girls to see that in theaters. It's good. I'm not quite sure it's as good as the first one, but there's a lot of really good internet stuff in it that you're going to love.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah. All right. And that's pretty much it, except that I'm just a status update on my podcast. I am now under 2 weeks behind. So if I keep this up, but within a month's time, I should be totally up to date on my podcasts.
You are ridiculous. You just need to let some episodes go. It's okay. It really is.
Nope.
I can't tell you how many podcast episodes I skip. You know, let me take a moment here to vent a little frustration on something I've noticed with podcasts recently.
Okay.
I don't know why. And this has been happening on some fairly big name podcast that I listen to. I'm not going to call anybody out. It's fine. But where I'll get to the end of a podcast and there'll be 30 seconds of silence at the end of the show. What is going on here, people?
Yep.
This isn't a hard problem to fix. Come on. Get stuff together, people, and fix your shows.
Yeah, I've been seeing this too. Probably in the same shows. I don't know. But
probably not all the same ones, but okay. Yes.
Really, really weird. And I'm also occasionally catching where like a professional podcast, like something from Marketplace or something from NASA ends up having, I don't know, like a segment from several episodes ago, randomly overplaying something that you're listening to. That obviously they reused the old file, which is fine because that's what you do.
Yep.
But when they produced it, they didn't wipe out that track that was probably below the fold.
Whoops.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that means it's my turn. In terms of watching things, like Richard said, I've got a TiVo, also the Bolt OTA. I don't have a lot to say yet. So I'm going to hold off on that for a little bit while longer. While Richard can't record primetime TV, I was going through the guide looking for things that I want to actually watch in primetime over the next couple of weeks. And guys, there's nothing on TV worth watching in primetime, right? I don't know how Richard has all of this stuff to watch because I don't know. I didn't see anything interesting. So I do have a hockey game recorded that I already know the score to, but I didn't get to watch live. So maybe I can watch some of that. And I do now have it all hooked up with my Harmony and want to get the kids using it for their Netflix and YouTube watching. I'm curious, Richard, you have the TiVos. You also have the Harmony remotes, including the lesser Harmony, but I mean, I call it the lesser one,
which I think is the best Harmony, quite less, frankly.
But yeah, you love it. Which do you use more with your TiVo? Do you use your Harmony or do you use the TiVo remote?
Well, I use neither right now because I am currently testing the Kavo Control Center. Right. And my way of testing is that I impose it on the household.
Right. Do you hide the other ones so they can't be used?
It's in the cabinet. Now, the TiVo remote I do have out because the TiVo makes, they don't, I don't think that they make it themselves. I think that they use a third-party manufacturer to make it, but it is a fantastic remote. TiVo has always had great remote controls, and it just feels good. It's weighted almost perfectly. I do use that occasionally when I need more buttons.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Harmony remote, you have all the buttons that you need. The only one that's a little tricky is live TV, and I always set the DVR button to go to live TV.
Mm. Okay. The one that I agree, the TiVo remote is nice. The one thing that keeps tripping me up, and I think it's because I'm bouncing back and forth so much between that one and the Harmony remote, is where the D-pad, the arrow buttons are. Because they're not directly under your thumb. The shuttle controls are directly under your thumb and the arrow buttons are at the top. And maybe that's just how I'm holding it. So
no, you're right. You're right. That is exactly right. And it's funny because when I switch back and forth, I notice that sometimes I'm pressing like rewind or fast forward when I really wanted to be going left or right. So I totally understand what you're saying.
Yep. And for most people, this wouldn't be an issue because you wouldn't be bouncing back and forth between at least those two controllers.
Right. Remote controls. Right. But like that's an odd combo. My universal remote and my TiVo remote.
Right. It's like for all the years of the tech sites that would review Android phones and be like, well, on this phone, the back button is on the left. And on this phone, the back button is on the right. And how are people supposed to keep this stuff straight? Well, most people keep a phone for 2 years. It's not an issue. But for reviewers who are switching devices all the time, then it's an issue.
Correct. Anyway, also, though, anybody who actually designed a phone with a back button on the right, they don't deserve that job.
True. All right. So what am I actually watching and playing and messing around with at home? Well, it's mostly been games. Crackdown 3 came out in between the last time we recorded and now. And Joe D'Estasio, the other guy that I do a podcast with, the Story Players, and I have been playing because it's available as part of Game Pass. I mean, I did talk about this a little bit, I think, on the last episode, because I do remember saying that if you liked the original Crackdown, I think you're going to like this. We're not done. The main the story that you can completely skip because it's pointless, we're close to done with, and the main campaign has been longer than I expected. I figured this would be 7-8 hours tops. We've probably played for more than 10 and we're not done yet. I think we're close, but not quite done yet, and we're still enjoying it. So I absolutely recommend checking this out if you're into ridiculous third-person action shooter games. It is a lot of fun. Cool. The other one I've played a little bit of is Apex Legends. I don't think I really need to describe this much to anybody who's a gamer. You probably know about this by now. Free-to-play, brand new Battle Royale game from Respawn, the guys who made Titanfall. It is really good. I've only played a few matches of it. I'm not good. The game is good. I'm not. So I should probably play some more of that. But unsurprisingly, I spent most of my time playing NHL. So that's what I spent most of my gaming time playing this weekend, because I only play Crackdown 3 with Joe. But we got to get through it soon, because we also need to record an episode of Story Players for you all for Life is Strange Episode 2. I'm planning to do that this week. And then next Friday, The Division 2 comes out. And guys, I'm so excited about this game. Maybe you remember how excited I was about the first one when it came out 2 or 3 years ago. I'm doing the same thing that I did for that one. Joe is doing the same thing. We're taking the day off work and we're just going to play all day. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for The Division 2. It's so good. So yeah, that'll be all I'm talking about in a couple of weeks for what's going on in my entertainment center. So that's it for me. Richard, you have one more announcement to share, though.
I do. Before we're out of here, for Home On, we are doing a giveaway contest. And this is courtesy of the folks over at Insteon. They have provided us with an insane starter kit worth nearly $500. It has 9 different products in it. Well, not 9 different, but 9 products in it, 8 different products. One of them is duplicated. And that's good, because that means that you get 2 switches that you can use with an Insteon hub, a wall dimmer, a keypad, multiple sensors, a plug-in module, an outdoor module, all of the stuff. You add it all up, it's 9 products worth about $500, and you can win this. And you have 6 different ways that you can win up to 9 entries, because 9 products, 9 entries. All you have to do is go to our contest page or go to the Home On latest episode, and we'll have a link to the contest, and you can check that out. Please do participate in this, and let the folks at Insteon know that our listeners are interested in Insteon products.
So, Richard, when you say you can win this, does that mean I can win this? Because I could use 9 Insteon products.
Yeah, you can't win this.
Okay, ruin all my fun.
Yeah, that's a little bit too close to home. But if you're a listener or a reader, you can win this. So go ahead and sign up. And we're looking forward to giving this away, because this is quite a stash.
Yeah, that's an awesome set of gear to be given away. Very cool. Thank you, Insteon, for providing that for the giveaway. All right. Well, if you would like to get a hold of us, send us some feedback on what you've been watching, tech stories that you've been interested in, or gear or shows you've been watching, or games you've been playing, you can find us all over the place All of our information is in the show notes over at thedigitalmediazone.com. Some of our favorites, though, are Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at DigiMediaZone. But we're also on Facebook, and our email address and all that stuff is up on the website. Richard, you've got a brand new episode of Home On out. What's on the latest episode of Home On?
Finally! Yeah, I have the episode where I spoke with Jianwei He from Leadvance. We talked about some of the advances in the Sylvania Smart Plus product line. And I also covered some news, including the news of Iris shutting down. Lowe's Iris is going away. And I wanted to get some more information about that. So in the upcoming episode, later this month, I'm joined by DMZ listener and reader Tony Rayner, who is an Iris user. And he has gone through the ramp down process with Iris and talking a little bit about how that went for him and what he decided to do as he moved away from Iris. So that's a great discussion, and we'll be publishing that in about a week and a half.
Very cool. Tony's such a cool guy. We've had the pleasure of meeting him at a couple of the, well, they've changed the name of it, the Reset meetup.
I can't imagine why you can't think of the name of it.
The Home Service Show meetup. It's had a couple of different names. We've met him there. He's so awesome. He's normally in the live chat. That's cool that you got to do this. I had no idea that you were doing this. That's awesome.
How cool is that? Also, by the way, he was suggesting, well, he wasn't suggesting that we should do it, but he was saying that, man, you know, I hope someone ends up picking up that Home Server Show meetup again. That was such a great thing. And it was. It was such a great thing.
It was a great thing. Someone else should be willing to take the effort of hosting something like that.
Yeah, we can't do that.
It was fun. All right. Well, we've also got another podcast for you to enjoy over the DMZ. That is Story Players, the video game spoiler cast, where we cover, you know, story heavy video games. Like I said, the next episode is going to be Life is Strange Season 2, Episode 2. Probably in a couple of weeks' time. Give me time to play it. Give us time to record it. We've also been playing through the last, and by last, I mean the final season of The Walking Dead game also. So all of those podcasts available everywhere you can get podcasts and over at thedigitalmediazone.com. Make sure you subscribe to all of them. And you should check out the show when we record it live Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, usually, but not this week. And I don't know what's going on next week yet either, because Richard's not going to be around. So hopefully we'll be live, but I don't know for sure, because it's a lot of fun when we do it live, because you cool people like Tony Rayner tend to show up and make it a lot more fun. So do that in the future. Follow us on Twitter to find out for sure when we are live, because that's going to do it for episode 477. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.